Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall is separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. But there are certain things that are blocking you from being red hot for the Messiah, and you don't even know them. And that's why God has you listening to this radio show or the CD right at this moment. For instance, I'm sure there are people listening to us right now where their parents gave birth to them and the mother wasn't even married. Craig Hill, what happens to that little girl, that little boy that's raised in that environment?
Well, Sid, we're talking about seven critical times of blessing, and the very first time when God intended for there to be a blessing is right at the time of conception. And what does blessing mean? It means that when you're conceived within the protective hedge of the covenant of marriage, and that your parents want a child. To be cursed is to be conceived outside of the protective hedge of marriage, and maybe your parents don't want a child. And I had a dramatic experience one time when a mother came to me and she said, "I wonder if you could help me." She said, "I have a 5-year-old little boy who's full of lust." I said, "That's a strange thing. Most little boys that are 5 years old I know aren't even alive to sex. They're not even awake to it. It doesn't mean anything to them." She said, "That's true, but not my son. My son is completely alive to sexual things just like an adult. He knows all the latest sexual jokes. He feeds on pornography if he can ever get hold of it. He touches other little girls his age in inappropriate ways, and even grown women. And they don't realize, they don't think he's doing anything or he knows what he's doing, but he knows exactly what he's doing." She says, "Every week I have calls from the principal or the teacher at school because of horrible things that he's done of a sexual nature." And she said, "I don't know how this ever could have happened because he's never been around people like this or people who think like this. And he's never been sexually violated or molested himself. I don't know where he could have picked this up." And she said, "Can you help me?" I said, "Well, I can pray for you." And her pastor was standing right there, and he was nodding and affirming, "You know, it really is as bad as she says." So we sat down in the pastor's office, and I said, "Lord, what do we do?" I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Just start at the very beginning of the little boy's life and ask her, how was he conceived?" So I said, "Could you share with me, how was your son conceived?" Tears came to her eyes, and she said, "Well, actually, that was at a very immoral time in my life, and I was, as close as I can tell, probably with more than one man on the night that he was conceived, and I'm not even sure for sure which one was his father." She said that lifestyle continued for another 3 months, and then I gave my life to the Lord. I was delivered from the lust and never involved in that kind of immorality again. But I have no idea how my son could have gotten this. And the moment she said that, I heard the father speak to me, and he said, "That little boy was demonized by a spirit of lust at the moment of conception because there was no spiritual hedge of protection of the covenant of marriage." And I thought, God, can that even happen? Can a little boy be demonized in the womb or be demonized even at conception? And the Lord said, "Well, that's what happened to him." And I realized something I'd never realized. I heard the father say, "Son, for the first time, you understand the law of Moses." I thought, the law of Moses? I began thinking about that. Oh, yeah. In the law of Moses, fornication was a capital offense. You lose your life for that. And I had always thought, God, that is so severe. I mean, if we had to apply that in today's society, we might not have too many people left to even be a part of the body of Messiah. But I said, God, why was that? And I heard him say this, "Son, that wasn't my severity. That was my mercy." Think about it. How many children were ever conceived outside of that protective hedge where they could be demonized when there was a strong deterrent like that? That was mercy for the children. And I said, oh, I never thought of that. I never saw that. And here's what I realized, Sid. that marriage, the covenant of marriage, is the protective hedge that keeps children from being afflicted by demonic spirits. Now, you and I as adults understand and realize that there is spiritual warfare. We understand that there are things we need to do to protect ourselves against demonic attack. But a child in the womb, how is that child going to protect itself?
So what happened to this five-year-old?
Well, what finally happened then, I told the woman this, the mother, and she really wept because she felt so guilty. She said, well, what do I do? I said, here's what you can do. This is the good news. The bad news is you opened a door in the spirit because there was no protective hedge of marriage and allowed a demonic spirit to afflict your child. The good news is this. You have authority to close that door. I said, I want you to bring your husband and your son in here with your pastor. And you pray to break the power of the iniquity of lust that actually, as I talked to her more, had come down for several generations. There had been the same problem in her parents' grandparents, so it wasn't first generation that started with her. Break the iniquity of that lust, release it to the cross of Jesus, and then release upon your son the purity that Jesus Christ died to pay for, and then you command that demonic spirit to leave, and you have authority. It will go. She said, we will do that. I came back to that city about 2 months later, and this woman was the first one to come running up to me at a meeting, and she had her little five-year-old boy in tow, you know, with by the hand. She said, do you remember me? And I didn't because I'd seen a lot of people, but she began to share the story again, and I said, oh, yeah, now I remember. She said, you wouldn't believe it. We did exactly that. We closed the door to that lust, broke the power of the iniquity and commanded that spirit to leave, and she burst into tears and she said, I got my son back. I got my son back. He's a normal five-year-old little boy, doesn't know anything about lust, doesn't remember any of the jokes, doesn't remember any of the words, is completely innocent, doesn't even know anything about sex, and she began praising the Lord. I thought, that is amazing. And you know what I learned, Sid?
What's that?
Is the power of the covenant of marriage, that is the protective hedge that keeps children in the womb from being demonized. And most people don't know that. They think, well, it's just a piece of paper. I've had people come to me and say, do you mean to tell me there's a difference if I sleep with my girlfriend 10 minutes before the wedding ceremony or an hour after the wedding ceremony? I said, absolutely there's a difference, because what happens in a covenant of marriage is something supernatural. There's a supernatural protection that blocks the enemy from being able to touch children in the womb. And outside of that, there's no hedge of protection. And I had that experience, I've seen that same thing happen many, many times. And many people get free as they've learned that I opened a door and actually released my child to be cursed because there was no protective hedge. And when we prayed to break that by the power of the blood of Jesus, it changed everything for the child.
What about, there are a lot of children that are plagued their whole life with rejection.
Yeah.
Tell me about an example of someone like that.
Yeah, I've met many, many people that have struggled with rejection, or depression is another thing, their whole life, that have come right from the womb. When we've prayed with those people and said, Lord, where did this start? The Lord took them right back to times in the womb where, again, there was no protection, and many times where parents, maybe a mother, for example, said over her daughter, I don't want a child. You're a bother to me. I wish you'd go away. In some cases, parents have even tried to abort their child, or the mother has tried to abort the child. And I remember one woman that struggled with deep, deep depression for all of her life until she was in her 40s when we were able to pray with her and identify that what had actually happened is there had been a cursing of her identity in the womb when her father had been killed in the war. She had been born back in World War II, and her father had been killed in the war. The grief was so severe in her mother's life, and the mother had spoken terrible things over her daughter and wished herself to die. I wish I could just die. I wish my little baby would die. And that had gotten in the heart of that woman, and she carried that depression on into her 40s until we could pray with her and break the power of that by the blood of Jesus.
What about people listening right now that have aborted children, or as you said, perhaps had the thought of aborting and never did. All these doors can be closed.
Absolutely. And that's the good news. I mean, sometimes people hear these things and they become afraid or they become very guilty because they have opened these kinds of doors by speaking curses over their children. I wish this child would go away, or trying to abort the child. But as you just said, the good news is that Jesus died and shed his blood to break the power of that. And that's what people can – I mean, we can pray with people that are struggling with that right now. And they can get more help through the book and the CD that's being offered this very week. But let's pray with people that have had that.
Go for it.
So, Father, right now I pray for every person listening that wounded or spoke a curse into the life of an unborn child, either trying to abort that child or wishing that that child were never born. And, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus to reverse that. Thank you that Jesus Christ died, that that child would not have to die. And Father, I pray right now for the blood of Jesus to begin to cleanse and heal and deliver and reverse that curse in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What about a parent that's disappointed because they wanted a son and they had a daughter? What effect does that have on the child?
I've seen that happen sometimes, Sid. Two things will happen. I've seen little boys that feel like they should have been little girls, and there can actually be a root of homosexuality planted right at the time of birth. When parents desperately wanted a boy and it was a girl, or wanted a girl and it was a boy. And people will struggle with gender confusion sometimes for many, many years as a result of that. A second thing that I've seen happen is many times when a child has been rejected at birth, there's a feeling, I don't measure up. No matter what I do, I've got to strive and strive and strive. And that son or daughter grows up feeling like no matter how much I accomplish, it's not enough.
Or the other way, they don't even try. They either are super achievers or they don't even try.
That's another potential response, is just giving up and saying, I'll never amount to anything.
All these doors can be closed, and there are supernatural ways of doing it. And the prayers are written out by Craig Hill right in this book to close these doors. You have doors that have to be closed, and it's going to affect your children and your children's children and their destiny and your destiny. We're making his book, The Power of Parents' Blessing, and two CDs that you're going to soak under. It's called Soaking Up the Father's Blessing of the Most Outstanding Christians with an Anointing of a Father's Blessing to pray over you. I can see some of you listening to this sometimes day and night till that picture is formed in your spirit. And we're making them both available, the book and the two CDs, for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.